For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, it is an honor and privilege to be here with you every Sunday at 10 a.m., bringing you the latest and greatest related to health and wellness. Next week, don't forget to tune in. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning and hosting another show with great information related to health and wellness. The Village Green is a local pharmacy here in Bethesda. They've been here for over 40 years, offering the community the cutting-edge best in health and wellness products. They have a huge line of nutraceutical and natural products, herbal products. They also have all sorts of natural body care products. They have a traditional pharmacy where you can get any prescription filled, just like any regular pharmacy. And we also have a state-of-the-art, cutting-edge compounding pharmacy where we can have custom formulations made specifically for you. It is a wonderful resource. If you haven't been there, they're located right here on West Cedar Lane. Make sure to check them out. They are kind enough to sponsor the show and believe that spreading the word of health and wellness is an integral part of supporting the community around them. So I thank them for sponsoring the show. Today, we have a great show lined up for you. As always, we have many, many great special guests that visit us on the show, and today is absolutely no exception. And we're going to be talking about gluten issues. Now, we've touched on it a little bit in the last show that I did. We've touched on it a little bit in previous shows that we've done, but this issue around gluten has exploded in the last 5 years. It's almost impossible to go to a grocery store, to go to a restaurant, to be totally immune to this idea of people wanting to avoid gluten. The question is, is it a fad or is it legitimate? 5 or 10 years ago, the conversation around gluten only existed in the context of a very specific condition called celiac disease. And if people were advised to avoid gluten, it was usually only under the circumstances if they had been diagnosed with this autoimmune condition where gluten, which is a protein in wheat, can cause severe destruction to the gastrointestinal tract. Well, fast forward many years, practitioners like myself had always been suspecting that gluten may be having ill effects on people's health, even if they weren't celiac. However, there was not the body of research necessary to back it up. It was more clinical observation. Well, in the last 5 or 10 years, there's been an amazing amount of research that has really suggested there's scientific evidence that shows even people without celiac disease can have a significant negative impact in their health when they consume gluten. And we're going to talk about that today. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I think a lot of myths and mistruths that need to be ferreted out. Where does gluten come from? What do you have to do to eat a gluten-free diet? What's the difference between a gluten-free diet and a wheat-free diet? What grains contain gluten? Why has gluten become such a problem in the last 30 years? Why are the rates of celiac disease skyrocketing exponentially when it doesn't account for population growth? There just seems to be a huge surge in people's inability to tolerate gluten. So we're going to get to the bottom of all of those questions, and it is one of the most important conversations we're going to have on the show for a while. Now, I want to introduce my special guest, because I believe we are incredibly lucky to have him on today. Dr. Joseph E. Pizzorno, naturopathic physician, was appointed by President Clinton in December 2000 to the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine Policy and by President Bush's administration to the Medicare Coverage Advisory Committee in February 2003, is one of the world's leading authorities on science-based natural medicine. A physician, educator, researcher, and expert spokesperson, Dr. Pizzorno is founding president of Bastyr University. In 1996, he was appointed to the Seattle King County Board of Health and the founding board of directors of the American Herbal Pharmacopeia. In 2002, he became the founding editor of Integrative Medicine, a clinician's journal. He has been licensed as a naturopathic physician in Washington State since 1975. Dr. Pizzorno has been the recipient of numerous awards and honors. In May 2003, the American Holistic Medical Association recognized him as a pioneer in holistic medicine. In May 2004, the Institute for Functional Medicine honored him with the Linus Pauling Award. Dr. Pizzorno is author of Total Wellness and co-author of the internationally acclaimed Textbook of Natural Medicine, Handbook of Natural Medicine Instructions for Patients, best-selling Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine for the Prevention and Treatment of Cancer, and soon-to-be-released Encyclopedia of Healing Foods. Dr. Pizzorno, it is an honor and privilege to have you on the show with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thank you for the very kind introduction. And particularly thank you for the opportunity to talk about what I consider to be one of the most important health issues people can pay attention to. So when we're talking about wheat, it's always been to me something of a conundrum because on the one hand, I found that almost every patient I had with chronic disease, when I advised them to stop eating wheat, they got better. But on the other hand, when I tested them for antibodies to wheat, very few of them had antibodies to wheat, and so they did not have classic celiac disease. So while I'd use this clinically with patients with rheumatoid arthritis, eczema, asthma, multiple sclerosis, dementia, I mean, the list is long. They all got better. So, like I said, this has been a mystery. And then at the Institute for Functional Medicine conference in Dallas, end of April, we had a speaker, Dr. Pizzorno. And while I had seen some of his research before, this lecture he gave was probably one of the best I've ever heard. And I finally started to understand it and then put together and actually wrote an editorial for the journal in which I'm the editor-in-chief. It's Integrative Medicine, a Clinician's Journal. And in issue 12.4, I actually wrote an editorial on wheat and understanding now why it is wheat has so much trouble for people without necessarily being an immunological reaction. So here's the basic story. So Pizzorno was actually researching something entirely different. He was looking at what was the mechanism the body used when protecting itself from infectious disease. So he was looking at cholera and was wondering how the body develops this watery diarrhea that helps wash the cholera bacteria away. And as he was researching that, he found that when the cholera toxin comes in contact with the gastrointestinal mucosa, the intestinal cells release a molecule called zonulin. And that zonulin then opens up the space between the cells and allows water to rush in to then wash out the bacteria. So that's part of the body's defensive mechanism. And so that was a pretty interesting discovery and was published and I think was important. But he somewhat accidentally discovered that that molecule is released by one of the foods we eat, and turns out it's released by a polypeptide called gliadin that's found in wheat. Now, it turns out that the gliadin is present not just in wheat, but rye and barley as well, but is not present in other grains. So anyway, so we found out that when people eat wheat, and not everybody, but I'll get into that in a moment, but when people eat wheat, the gliadin that causes the wheat gliadin part of the gluten in the wheat causes the release of the zonulin, and the zonulin then causes the gut to open, and you now have leaky gut syndrome. So it turns out that whether a person reacts in this way or not is dependent upon their genetics. So there's a form of globulin in the blood called haptoglobin. Haptoglobin is produced by the body to bind to iron when it's released from blood when there's tissue damage. So as you might expect, iron is very oxidative in the body, so it's very important for the body to get rid of to bind to iron as quickly as possible. So it turns out that there are two kinds of haptoglobin, haptoglobin 1 and haptoglobin 2, and whether you have one or two, or a combination of one and two. It depends upon, of course, what genes you get from your parents. It turns out that haptoglobin 2 that zonulin is a precursor for haptoglobin 2. So people who produce haptoglobin 2 also then produce zonulin, but people who only haptoglobin 1-1 don't produce zonulin. So then it turns out that basically the degree of reaction the person has to eating wheat, i.e. how long the gut is open, allowing whatever's in the gut to get into the body, is determined by their haptoglobin type and then also by how often they're eating wheat. So now you might say, well, so what? It opens up the gut. Why is that important? Well, whenever the gut is opened up, whatever is in the gut can then leak into the body. This then upregulates inflammation and also upregulates the immune reaction. So the more zonin the person releases and the more wheat they eat, the longer the period of time in which they have inflammation going on in their body. So then you start looking at, well, let's see, what percentage of the population doesn't react to wheat in this way? What percent does? So it turns out that in North American population, that 20% of the population has haptoglobin 1-1. That means they don't have any zonulin. And so for them, eating wheat is very unlikely to cause trouble. Now, still, some of them will have an immunological reaction to wheat, but it's much, much less likely. Now, conversely, those who have haptoglobin 1-2 is 43% of the population. That's the largest group. And those who have haptoglobin 2-2 is 35% of the population. That means that people who have haptoglobin 2-2 should never eat wheat, because when they eat wheat, their gut stays open for about 4 hours after they eat the wheat. So if they eat wheat multiple times during the day, which most people do, then they basically have leaky gut syndrome all day long. Now, those who have haptoglobin 1-2 are intermediate, and they're a situation where if they eat wheat at reasonably low dosages and not real common, they're not as likely to run into trouble. So then we start looking at the correlation between celiac disease and haptoglobin type. It turns out to be a very, very strong correlation. So while in only 7% of people with celiac disease are haptoglobin 1-1, 57% of people with celiac disease are haptoglobin 2-2. So as you can see, there's much stronger correlation with the haptoglobin type and celiac disease, which gives us now just another indication about why wheat causes trouble in people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really important overview of the physiology of why wheat is such a problem for so many people. I think the disconnect, and I want to touch on this, Dr. Pizzorno, when we come back from the break, is really elaborating out and helping people to understand how consuming something like wheat, people associate foods that they eat and problems with foods that they eat only to gastrointestinal symptoms. So I would like, when we come back from the break, for you to expand a little bit on this concept of leaky gut, which, we've been discussing in the naturopathic community for 20 plus years and was never really given a whole lot of credit from the conventional medical field until some of Dr. Fasano's research actually scientifically proved that this is a state that really does exist and contributes to many different health conditions. Would love for you to expand on this and help people to understand how consuming something like wheat and gluten, if you're in this mass majority of people that have this haptoglobin type and have a reaction with the zonulin release, how that can affect almost all systems of your body and how it can manifest with a huge variety of symptoms, and why avoiding wheat can not necessarily cure all problems, but certainly in some cases reverse certain chronic health conditions, but in many cases just aid in improved health, less inflammation, and people feeling general and better. So that's the preview for the next segment. Don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're going to answer these really important questions related to gluten and wheat when we come back from the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Too much sugar in your body does more than add unwanted pounds. These sugar molecules bombard your body's cells, bonding with fats and proteins in a process known as glycation. And the end result leads to health issues that age your body. That's why so many people have jumped on the vitamin B6 bandwagon. B6 blocks the end products of glycation. Life Extension's pyridoxal 5-phosphate is a bioactive form of vitamin B6. It enters your body ready to work. So do yourself a favor before you get 1 minute older. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension's pyridoxal 5-phosphate.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acid-ophilus, 900% more. Get acid-ophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acid-ophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and today we are discussing this concept of wheat and gluten and the importance of wheat and gluten as it contributes to different chronic health conditions. I have on the phone with me today Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, who is one of the leading experts in the field of integrative medicine, and we are discussing this very important topic. So, Dr. Joe, in the last segment, we discussed some of the basic concepts on how wheat and gluten specifically and the gliadin protein affect the body and affect the GI system. What I'd love for you to discuss in this segment is how something that you eat gets past the gut and can impact the body in all of these different areas and create such a vast array of health problems, and how so many people with different problems can dramatically improve when we remove this food from the diet. So please explain.
Great intro, and again, incredibly important topic. So I want to be very clear here that I'm going to be talking about non-immunological reactions to wheat. So immunological reactions to wheat, where you get celiac disease, et cetera, is obviously very serious. And that affects probably about 2% of the population. So for some people, that's very important. And research right now suggests that half to two-thirds of people with celiac disease have not been diagnosed.
Right. Can we just make a point real quick, Dr. Pizzorno? I mean, this immunological reaction to wheat, I mean, the majority of people that are getting screened from, you know, people who aren't necessarily up on this research, they're getting screened based on an immunological reaction, which is in the most cases negative. So a lot of people will get a blood test that looks for antibodies or looks for celiac. They suspect that wheat might be a problem or they have a chronic disease, and they're told actually, in fact, that no, you have no reaction. There's no evidence of immune reaction. Therefore, you don't have to worry about eating wheat. And I'd like to make that point because that's not what we're talking about. The standard tests that are done to look for wheat sensitivities and look for celiac and gluten issues will not ferret out these other mechanisms in which wheat can wreak havoc on your health. So I just wanted to make that point for people.
Exactly. Very well said. And that is the problem, because I've had this happen with patients where I have them go off wheat and they're getting better, and they go to their medical doctor, and the medical doctor runs the antibody test on them and says, no, wheat's not a problem for you. Well, that is confusing to the patient, and some patients will then stop following my advice, because as you might appreciate, not eating wheat is not easy to do in our society.
Yep.
Wheat smells good, it tastes good, it's everywhere, easily available, it's inexpensive, and yet it causes so much trouble. So again, I'm going to focus now on the non-immunological reactions. So what happens? What happens when you chronically open up the gut and allow inflammation to continue? So let me read you this list. So this is a list of diseases associated with elevated levels of zonulin in the blood. Okay, so elevated levels of zonulin in the blood means that the person's eating wheat, and that wheat is opening up the gut. The zonulin is not only being released from the gut, it's actually going into the blood supply, and then all the other garbage there is going to the blood supply as well. So I'm going to talk about autoimmune diseases, diseases of the nervous system, and cancer. So autoimmune diseases, here's the list. ankylosing spondylitis, asthma, celiac disease, inflammatory bowel disease, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus erythematosus, and type 1 diabetes. This may be a significant reason why we have such an increased incidence of type 1 diabetes in children today. Then we have diseases of the nervous system, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. That's not very common. But how about schizophrenia and dementia? Cancers, brain cancer, breast cancer, glioma, another kind of brain cancer, lung adenocarcinoma, ovarian cancer, and pancreatic cancer. So look at that list of diseases. All of these, not because of antibody reactions except for the celiac disease, but it's because we're chronically opening up the gut for leakage that's allowing in foreign proteins, but equally important, it's causing excess inflammation in the body.
Yeah, that's a really important point to understand, is when you have this leaky gut, this breakdown of this what's supposed to be impermeable or selectively permeable membrane, we now are allowing things into our bloodstream that shouldn't normally be there. And this is a classic story that you can hear from people as they discover possibly that they're reacting to more and more foods. They're eating eggs and feeling nauseous. They're eating something and getting skin rashes. And they're wondering, why is this process continuing? And it can be because they're eating one particular food, and gluten and gliadin and wheat is one of those that's causing this leaky gut syndrome to happen and allowing their immune system to react to things it shouldn't normally react to. The job of our immune system is astounding what we expect it to do. It is expected to recognize every single cell in our body and learn that the cells in our body that are part of ourselves, it should not attack, and it's supposed to identify every other type of foreign invader, virus, bacteria, parasite, whatever it might be, and learn how to attack those. Well, there's this oftentimes disconnect, and in last week's show when I interviewed Dr. Blum, we had talked about her entire book, The Immune Recovery Plan, which is literally about reversing autoimmune disease, and she talks about this staggering increase in diagnoses of autoimmune conditions in our society. And we have linked directly, right, Dr. Pizzorno? I mean, Dr. Fasano's work links directly this aspect of zonulin, leaky gut, and certain autoimmune diseases, correct?
Exactly. That's what's happening. So we're finding, as you know, I'm the founder of Bastyr University, and I've been teaching students for years. And a point I always make for the students is to be the best doctor they can be, they have to deal with the causes of why people are sick. And that while we have the presence of disease, often the presence of disease kind of covers up the picture, and some people will get interested in treating the disease, treating the symptoms of the disease, but they miss the underlying cause.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at, for example, a patient with asthma. And so there's a lot of natural therapies for asthma, like fish oil, and there's medical drugs that are used for asthma, like steroids, which are really severe and things of this nature. But if the real cause is excessive gut permeability, then if all you're doing is treating the symptoms with fish oils or things like that, while it may help, you're not getting the true cause why people are sick.
Right.
And so the problem is that when you have something like leaky gut going on, not only is it causing asthma the person is aware of, but it's causing other problems as well. So it's making them unhealthy throughout their body.
So
one of the things I try to talk to students is the difference between curative medicine and suppressive or symptom treatment medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an important point to differentiate. And, you know, of course, using natural therapies, they can be used suppressively as well. They're oftentimes less harmful and do less harm than other medications or other prescription medications. But still, as you said, I mean, particularly being trained as a naturopathic doctor, the entire philosophy of medicine is to find the underlying or root cause of illness. And that's exactly what you're referring to.
Exactly.
So let's just, break it down for people a little bit. I mean, people out there listening, I mean, who's a candidate for trying to go gluten-free? I mean, this is really, in my opinion, where the rubber hits the road. Somebody's out there, they feel pretty good. They're not necessarily even diagnosed with something, or they have been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease or a chronic condition. There's so much information about gluten-free. Some people advocate it for losing weight. There's a very popular book called Wheat Belly, which actually gets into a lot of the reasons why. But the implication of the title is, you know, make your belly smaller by not eating wheat. So there's, you know, is it for weight loss? Is it for general health? Is it just a fad, you know, of health food stores trying to sell more expensive products and people trying to make more money? I mean, who out there should really be entertaining this question? And how do you determine if you're someone that should consider giving up gluten in your diet? Because as you said, it is not an easy undertaking. Gluten is everywhere. It's so hard to avoid, and it tastes good, and it smells good, and it really requires a huge degree of effort to try and avoid it. So what do you advise for people?
Good question. So number one, anybody with chronic disease, I don't care what it is, they should try a trial going gluten-free for 2 weeks. Now, it is a hassle, and it's very important. It's not a gluten. They must avoid rye and barley, and they must also, as much as possible, go on a rotation diet during this period of time. Now, the reason for this is that while the person's gut is open from having chronically eaten wheat, they can develop allergies to other foods as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually a high cross-reactivity between people who are allergic to wheat and are allergic to other foods as well. So I recommend 2 weeks no grains no wheat, rye, or barley, and then also try other foods on a rotating basis. So don't eat any food more often than once every 4 days.
Right, so don't eat the same thing every day.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And that gives the body the best chance to heal.
And within 2 weeks, people could expect to possibly notice, let's say if it's a chronic condition related to inflammation or pain, some decreases in their pain, or if it's an issue related to mental, emotional issues. I mean, I've seen people with depression that has, primarily cleared by removing gluten from their diet, you know, and 2 weeks you think is a long enough time?
Yes. So that's a long enough time to start seeing improvement.
Sure.
Not a long enough time to cure a disease they may have. It may take longer than that.
Yep. And I mean, there are starting to be developed some ways of testing for some of these issues. If you're working with a qualified practitioner who's aware of these things, you can actually do testing to measure things like zonulin levels and to get an idea of if perhaps you are having some of these leaky gut issues or reactions that predispose your gut to being leaky, to try and take a little bit more of a objective or scientific approach to it. But oftentimes, you know, people don't have access to those testings. That testing is not covered by insurance. And the simplest way is to do the trial eliminations and see if your condition improves. And I do think it's important to let people know that, you know, as we talked about, yes, a lot of these issues can be right directly in the gut. So, I mean, certainly, Dr. Bizzorno, people with irritable bowel syndrome or other types of chronic gastrointestinal issues, there can certainly be a localized reaction, correct?
Correct. So, to continue on, so if they have access to a laboratory that run the blood zonulin, that's an excellent test to do. And the next group of people I would suggest are people who feel chronically unwell.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a diagnosed disease yet, but they're feeling chronically unwell. And as you may know, about the population as a whole defines themselves as chronically unwell about one-third of the days of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Ghastly, it should not be the case.
Yeah.
Again, those are people where it hasn't progressed to the point where they have a diagnosed disease, but it's causing damage.
Right. And feeling unwell could be maybe a degree of fatigue, brain fog, lethargy, low energy, maybe some random inflammation, frequent immune challenges, some chronic gastrointestinal stuff. As you said, it's not something that's diagnosed as a problem, but it's something that undermines how they think they should feel in regards to optimal health on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, it's sad, but that's a very common problem in our society. So the good news is that we can do something about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important, you know, for people to understand that this isn't necessarily a cure-all. You know, I mean, that's not what we're discussing here. There are certain individuals whose reaction to gluten or wheat-based products it shouldn't even be wheat. It's also the rye and barley to gluten, where they may have a miraculous response where a chronic condition that is normally treated aggressively with medications and a whole course of highly invasive therapies completely reverses when gluten is eliminated. I think doctors like myself and Dr. Pizzorno, if you treat enough people, there will be certain subsets in that population that have miraculous recovery. Now, not every single person is going to fall under that category. There are oftentimes many different factors that are contributing to a health condition, and gluten issues may be one of those factors. Removing that may not result in a miraculous recovery, but oftentimes it results in an improvement in health, and it is a catalyst for the rest of the process of healing, of reducing inflammation, and helping to balance the body so that chronic conditions can ultimately be reversed and managed through natural means. So I think it's important to keep that into perspective, understanding that there's many different factors that go into how somebody's health is presenting, and this is a very, very important one. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Prizzorno, I'd like to kind of pick up this question, pick up this topic a little bit more, and then we have some other things to discuss as well. I'd love to get your thoughts on this concept of mitochondrial health and understanding and helping people to understand what the mitochondria are in the cell and some of the information that you have for people about how to improve your mitochondrial health, which ultimately improves your cellular health, your energy levels, and overall state of well-being. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are addressing one of the most important emerging topics in the world of health and wellness today, and that is the issue of gluten and wheat. And thanks to the research of very specific doctors, Dr. Fasano, who is leading research in celiac disease, he has started to uncover some of the underlying mechanisms as to why gluten is so problematic for so many people in our society beyond the aspect of just celiac disease, and he has helped open up a world of scientific literature and scientific information to justify the potential for people to give up wheat and enjoy better health. And I have on the phone with me today Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, naturopathic doctor. He's been appointed by both administrations of President Clinton and President Bush for advisory roles in the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine and the Medicare Coverage Advisory Committee. He's one of the world's leading authorities on science-based natural medicine. He's a physician, educator, researcher, founder of Bastyr University, and author of many, many nationally and internationally well-known books. Dr. Pizzorno, thank you for being on the show with us today and sharing your wealth of information.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Sure. So, you know, we were kind of in the last segment wrapping up some of the conversations around gluten or wheat. Over the break, you know, we were discussing, I think it would be great to talk to people about this concept of why is wheat become such a problem? I mean, it's been something that's been harvested and used agriculturally in our society and societies around the world for a very long time. It's not in a traditional sense, this evil plant that we've made it out to be. You know, what has gone on in the last 100 to 200 years of agricultural domestication of this plant that has possibly changed its impact on human health and could possibly explain the dramatic exponential rise in diagnosis of gluten-related problems?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And while I was working on this editorial, I actually dove into that pretty deeply. So first thing I was wondering was, well, have we changed the type of wheat, and have we changed the amount of gluten in the wheat, and have we changed the amount of gliadin and the kind of gliadin in the wheat? And it turns out the answer to that is unequivocally yes. So there are three forms of gliadin, alpha, beta, and gamma, and the alpha is the worst, but the others cause trouble as well. But it turns out that we have intentionally hybridized wheat over the centuries with the intention of getting it to have higher gluten content. And that makes sense because gluten is the primary protein, and we need protein as humans. And also gluten is what makes wheat kind of sticky, the gluten sticky, and that makes it work for bread and things of this nature. So if you ever try making rice bread, you'll know why you like having gluten in your bread. So the problem is that we have now made the wheat have twice as much gluten and gliadin in it than it had when we first started eating it as a species. So two things have become available now. One is that we have now a lot more wheat available, so we have it all the time rather than seasonally in our lives. And second, it has a lot more gluten and a lot more gliadin in it. So just simply a dose-dependent relationship, you know, 7 mile wheat now provides twice as much the gliadin, so twice as much dynamic release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's an important point for people to understand.
Yes. Now, another very important point is some people thought, well, if we eat ancient wheat, we should be okay because it hasn't been hybridized and it's not going to have the same kinds of problems. Unfortunately, while it is true it will have somewhat different immunological characteristics, the ancient wheats also have gliadin in them. Again, not as much gliadin as modern wheat, but it still has gliadin.
Mm-hmm.
When people try to take spelt or they take kamut or what is called the einkorn or small spelt, ancient wheat, the bottom line is it's have gliadin. So if you have a patient with celiac disease, they can't eat it.
Sure.
If they have a patient who's haptoglobin 1-2, then they can eat it just as long as they don't eat too much of it. And again, before, you've got to try it out. You've got to try not eating wheat for a while, see what happens. And if you're improving, then you can try some of these other wheats. But be aware, they're probably going to be a problem as well.
Yeah, it might be possible to eat them in smaller quantities. And you bring up another good point. We don't eat them seasonally anymore. I mean, we know that, due to government subsidies, wheat and corn and soy are the top three crops grown in America, and they're grown in a degree of abundance that's far beyond what we can actually consume. These grains are stored for long periods of time, they're stockpiled, and they're used abundantly, and it's not just that we can get them seasonally. I mean, it's beyond seasonally. You can get them multiple times a day in every single thing you eat. You might eat, you know, an English muffin for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, have some pasta with dinner, snack on some something that's a chip or a snack that has gluten in it in the afternoon. It's 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a day. Every single thing that you're putting in your mouth could easily be a gluten-containing grain, and of course, coming from a plant that has been hybridized to have very, very high levels of gluten, now we are pushing different physiological mechanisms in the body that were never designed to be pushed based on our traditional diets that may have created a wheat that was less gluten and that we were eating on a more rotation basis. So all of those factors are what are theorized to be contributing to all of these sensitivities to gluten. So I think that's an important point to discuss.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dr. Joe, do you have any other final comments on gluten or wheat issues? I think it's an important topic, and I thank you for helping us cover it today.
Yeah, I think we've covered the primary points. If somebody has chronic disease or is chronically unwell, stop eating wheat religiously. I mean, you can't just decrease it. Stop eating religiously for 2 weeks, rotate your diet, and see what happens. And if you're feeling better, then you're one of the people who should not eat wheat.
Yeah, and I hope that people get out of this today, this concept that this idea of asking people as a practitioner or as a general rule of thumb to avoid gluten, this is not based on a new fad that's going on. This is not something that is going to go away. People like myself and Dr. Pizzorno and leading researchers and physicians in the field of medicine that emphasizes using diet and nutrition and supporting the body to heal, we all now know that there is clear scientific evidence to show us that this gluten protein can significantly undermine health and contribute to many of the chronic disease problems people are facing today. This is a fad and a piece of scientific information that is not going away and will only continue to grow in its popularity. It is not just a passing wave of the latest thing to do with diet. This is scientific fact. So, Dr. Joe, let's start touching upon this concept of mitochondria. Many people may have heard of them. These are, I loved my time studying cellular biology. When you break down biology on a cellular level, it is one of the most amazing things you could ever, in my opinion, look at or study when it comes to the human body. The mitochondria were always just a really neat place of focus for me. Can you explain to people what is a mitochondria? What does it do? What role does it play in health, and what's unique about it?
So the mitochondria are incredibly important. And the reason is that our body are basically enzyme machines. So we have enzymes which convert molecule from one form to another molecule. It builds our body, makes our muscles work. Everything in our body is based on enzymes. But enzymes require energy to function. That energy is available in the form of a small molecule called ATP, or adenosine triphosphate, which is why we call it ATP for short. So ATP is produced by the mitochondria. To give you an idea of how important energy production is for the cell, for the average cell, about 25% of the volume of the cell is made up by mitochondria. So I've always thought, well, mitochondria are important, and you know, we should make sure we're being reasonably healthy, but didn't give it much more thought. Then I had attended a lecture a couple months ago, and the lecturer made an astounding comment that, of course, I thought was interesting. I didn't believe until I went and looked at the research. He made a comment about how much ATP the average person produces per day. So I'm not going to put you on the spot to ask you if you know what the answer is, but I was surprised. So the average person at rest, in other words, just sitting down, not doing anything physically active, produces their body weight in ATP every day. So if you're a typical person weighing 150 pounds, you're producing 150 pounds of ATP every day. Now, if you then go out and exercise intensely, like go and run a 100-yard dash, you produce 1 pound of ATP every minute in your body. So all of a sudden, wow, that is a lot. I mean, there's no other molecule or chemical the body produces that much of. So it's huge. Then you start saying, well, but what then happens if the mitochondria aren't working quite properly, and how common is that? And it turns out that mitochondrial dysfunction is much more common than we realize. And the reason for that, of course, is that the mitochondria, because they're so incredibly physically active, they're very, very dependent upon nutritional deficiencies, but also they're very, very easily damaged by chemical toxins. Mm. And it turns out that many chemicals, including many prescription drugs, poison mitochondria. So when people take for example, an antibiotic, they feel tired afterwards. They think, well, just my working to kill off the bacteria. Well, yes, but equally important, many of the commonly prescribed antibiotics actually poison the mitochondria, so they stop producing as much ATP. So we think about antibiotics. So let's think about the penicillins. So when you take a standard dose of penicillin, it decreases your ATP production by 30%.
Wow.
If you take some of the stronger antibiotics like ciprofloxacin or kanamycin, and they're not commonly prescribed, but people are prescribed these things, they decrease ATP production by 50%. So, I mean, this is very significant. Mm-hmm. So let's look at other drugs. Acetaminophen, people go on and take Tylenol. Tylenol decreases ATP production. Aspirin decreases ATP production. L-DOPA, which is prescribed for people with Parkinson's disease, decreases ATP production. Statin drugs. Now almost 50% of the population, adult population, is on a statin drug. Statins poison mitochondria. Now, it's not just the drugs that do it as well. Alcohol consumption decreases ATP production, as does tobacco smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out there are a lot of factors in our environment that damage mitochondria, so they don't work as well. The good news is that there's a lot we can do nutritionally. We can do things nutritionally to help protect the mitochondria from the damage. We can also do things nutritionally to help the mitochondria produce more ATP.
Well, when we come back from the break, Dr. Pizzorno, let's get into specifically what things we can do nutritionally to support mitochondrial health and make sure on a daily basis that we're helping these incredibly important components of our cells do their job, which is literally to help our bodies make energy and power us through our day. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pizzorno with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back with Dr. Pizzorno right after this break.
Want to digest your food more effectively and more comfortably? You need extraordinary enzymes from Life Extension, with 12 natural enzymes that work together to support a healthy digestive system. Extraordinary enzymes helps your body convert protein, fiber, and fat to energy and better absorb nutrients from the foods you eat. It also helps break down vegetables that are hard to digest. And unlike commercial supplements, it doesn't contain the amylase enzyme, which can promote unhealthy after-meal glucose spikes. So stop by Village Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension's Extraordinary Enzymes.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilardi from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Pizzorno, and honored to have on the phone with me today, Dr. Joseph Pizzorno. He has been appointed to several different administration advisory roles in the Clinton administration and the Bush administration. He's one of the world's leading authorities on science-based natural medicine. He is the founder of Bastyr University and author of many nationally and internationally known and very popular books on natural medicine. Dr. Pizzorno, it has really been an honor and privilege to have you on the show today sharing your information. You are an inspiration to everybody out there who's trying to forward the cause of natural and holistic medicine as a integral part of the healthcare system of America today. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
You know, in the last segment, we started getting into this idea of mitochondria, what they do. You've brought up some very interesting points about their role in human health and physiology as the main producers of energy for our cells and running our cellular machinery. And you talked about some of the very common things that people are taking on a regular basis that significantly damage mitochondria, including antibiotics. You talked about aspirin or acetaminophen. You talked about statin medications and several other drugs and things that we're exposed to, like tobacco smoke and alcohol and other toxins that can affect mitochondria. What kind of things can we do to support our mitochondrial health and help them, you know, thrive and function in the way that they're supposed to, so that our cells have the energy they need for vibrant, good health?
Well, the good news is that there's a lot we can do. And so the comment you made, which is totally right on, and that is we need to live a nutrient-dense and toxin-low lifestyle. That's a bottom line for everything we're going to say, because as long as we're continuing to expose ourselves to toxins, we have to expect that our body's going to get damaged. And those toxins range from environmental toxins like the like pesticides to toxins that are prescribed to us like drugs and things in our lifestyle like excessive alcohol consumption. So decrease exposure to the toxins. The second thing we want to do is to help our body produce more mitochondria. And the most effective way to produce more mitochondria is to build muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically strength training. And so what happens here is that the muscles build up more mitochondria than they need at rest, so that they have enough energy available when they want to go off and, you know, sprint that 100-yard dash. So the body actually, the muscles actually produce more ATP than they need at rest. So people with more muscle mass are going to have more energy because they're basically producing more ATP all the time.
Yeah, which makes total sense. I mean, most people realize that if they're sedentary and they're off of their exercise program, they start to feel a little tired, a little lethargic. If they're exercising regularly, what's one of the first things that happens? Usually it takes about 3 or 4 weeks of regular exercise to kick in. People say, I have more energy. I feel better even at rest. And that is very likely due to the fact that they have more mitochondria in their body producing more energy. And we know, right, Dr. Pizzorno, if you biopsy the muscle of an athlete, you're going to find way more mitochondria present in a cell than if you biopsy the muscle of somebody who is sedentary. And even that same person, if they're deconditioned and haven't been exercising, and then you get them exercising, you can see before and after a significant increase in the amount of mitochondria in their cell. So a huge, huge issue with energy.
Exactly. So one is build muscle mass. It's also, if you're concerned about weight problems, I have three simple steps for people to lose weight, and it's extremely effective. Number one is don't eat any wheat. Okay, we already talked about that. Number two is go to the gym and build some muscle mass. And number three is eat real food.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those three things, you lose weight. So I'm not talking about calorie counting at all. I'm just talking about living smart.
Yep.
So there's some things we can do with nutritional supplements to help facilitate mitochondrial function, which is very helpful. So remember I mentioned to you before that taking many of these antibiotics substantially decrease the ATP production in the mitochondria. Well, it turns out if the person's taking N-acetylcysteine, or NAC for short, NAC will actually decrease the damage to the mitochondria by about 50%.
Is that specific with antibiotics, Dr. Pizzorno, or just in general?
Well, it's useful in other areas, but now I'm talking about research specifically with antibiotics.
Okay, thank you.
So NAC, I think, is a very, very useful nutrient. We can talk almost a whole hour just about that.
Sure.
So the NAC, instead of getting that 50% reduction in energy production, you get a 25% reduction. So again, it's not perfect, but it's a big help.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out there's other nutrients that help the mitochondria produce energy more efficiently. And there are two that are used in combination quite commonly, and that's in the research, and they're alpha-lipoic acid and acetyl L-carnitine. So what these two do are they help the body utilize fatty acids more efficiently. They also decrease the leakage of energy when the energy is being produced. Because the mitochondria don't function perfectly, while they're very good, they only utilize 98% of the oxygen effectively, and about 2% of the oxygen being used in mitochondria gets leaked and causes damage to mitochondria if there's not enough antioxidants around.
Mm-hmm.
So very important to have these things. So this is not just theoretical. So this is research that has been done in animals and now starting to be done in humans as well. So first thing they do, they give the animals the alpha-lipoic acid plus acetyl-L-carnitine, and they measure how much ATP production they have. And they measured this in both young rats and in old rats. And what they find is that old rats produce about half as much ATP as young rats.
Mm-hmm.
But when they give them acetyl-L-carnitine, the old rats produce almost as much ATP as the young rats. Still not as much, but dramatically more. Then they, to determine whether this has a clinical effect or not, they then put the rats into tests where they measure how far they can run. And what they find is that with a young rat, the young rat can run about 20% further when given acetyl-L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid. But the old rat can run twice as far as it could without the acetyl-L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid.
Mm-hmm. So a more dramatic response in the older rats than the younger rats. Is that correct?
Right. So younger rats, mitochondria are working better, so it's not a big effect, whereas the older rats, mitochondria aren't working very well.
Yeah.
And so not only do they get almost doubling of the energy production, they also get almost a doubling of how far they can run.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty significant.
That is significant.
So there's other things that are beneficial, and that is when we're looking at the exposure to all these drugs and such, there's some nutrients that help out. The most important one, if the person's taking statin drugs, is to take coenzyme Q10. Because the way that the statin drugs damage mitochondria is that they block the production of coenzyme Q10. And if you look at how high-energy electrons are transported in the mitochondria, they're transported by being bound to coenzyme Q10. So if there's not enough coenzyme Q10 there, not only can you not transmit the electrons adequately for producing energy, but more electrons are lost, so the mitochondria are damaged more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that chronic muscle pain and weakness people experience when taking statin drugs is almost totally due to the fact that they now don't have enough coenzyme Q10.
Mm-hmm. And are getting damaged directly to that mitochondria.
Damaged directly to mitochondria. And the sad thing is that the damage to mitochondria can become permanent. So it's not something you want to do for very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be CoQ10. Then we have other nutrients that are important. So for example, the good old herbal ginkgo biloba. We all know about ginkgo biloba for protecting the brain and helping decrease dementia. Well, it turns out ginkgo biloba specifically protects mitochondria from pesticides, drugs, poisons, and from glutathione depletion. And so we give an animal that's been exposed to these toxins, give them the ginkgo, they have more ATP production because the mitochondria have been protected.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very useful.
Yeah, it's a very, very important and really interesting part of the cellular machinery. And, I mean, you bring up the point about antibiotics being so detrimental. I mean, there's a lot of drugs that are, but it's interesting because, Dr. Pizzorno, isn't there some scientific theory, that they believe it's theory that mitochondria are possibly of bacterial origin and over evolutionary time incorporated themselves into our cellular machinery because they have some sort of unique or different characteristics than other pieces of our cells?
Yes, that's a good point. So, our cells were called eukaryotes, and at some point, millions of years ago, as we were developing as a species, as cells before species, the cells got invaded by some bacteria, and those bacteria developed a symbiotic relationship with the cells, where the bacteria focused just on producing ATP, and the cells focused on giving these invading bacteria the nutrients they needed to function to produce ATP.
Mm-hmm.
So without the that microbial invasion of the cells so many millions of years ago, we would not exist as a species.
Sure. Well, it's certainly interesting to put that into context with mitochondria and realize how damaging antibiotics can be to them. And certainly, we know antibiotics are used in incredibly, frequently scenarios, and so many people are on antibiotics for short and long durations. It's certainly a nice piece of information to know that something like N-acetylcysteine, which is a very safe, very well-tolerated nutritional supplement, can be incredibly important for supporting and protecting the mitochondria from damage when using antibiotics. So that is a great tip to have. Well, Dr. Joe, any other comments on mitochondria?
Lots.
Yeah, I know. We could probably do a whole show on it, but I guess it's about time to wrap up. So, Dr. Pizzorno, I mean, we really appreciate you being on the show with us today. Is there any resources that you want people to know about in regards to getting further information or anything you want to put out there for people?
Well, for the consumer, one of my books is called The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, and a new edition just came out last year. And it's the best information I personally have available for people on how to improve their health by using natural medicine.
Yes, so that's the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. It is a best-selling book, 2 million copies in 6 different languages. It is his resources are absolutely amazing. I have all of Dr. Pizzorno's books, and they are a very, very useful piece of clinical information, whether you're a doctor or a consumer. So, Dr. Pizzorno, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and I'll look forward to speaking to you all in 2 weeks. Enjoy next week's show with Dana Lake, and take care. Bye-bye.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.